Cress, brother and sister, D.H. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, April 28, 1902. Dear brother and sister Cress, I have received your welcome letters. Thank you very much for writing so fully. I am glad that you did not say, I shall not tell you the particulars regarding the work here, for I suppose others have already done this. Brother and sister Farnsworth have been very faithful in keeping us supplied with news. I thank them, and I thank you, my brother and sister. Since returning from New York, I have at times been so weak that I could scarcely walk without staggering. But I praise the Lord that I am growing stronger. My appetite has come back. I do not eat many kinds of food, but I relish what I do eat. I do not put on much flesh, but I am able to walk as easily as when I was 16 years of age. I ride out when the days are bright. Since the beginning of the year, I have written about 700 pages. Much of this matter is letters to different persons. These letters will be used in the testimonies and will, I hope, be a help to our people. At times my brain is so intensely active that it seems impossible for me to write the ideas as fast as they come to me. My eyesight is troubling me, but although the sanitarium is just above my home, on the hillside, and I am invited to go there and take treatment, I dare not go. There are times when a full, thorough course of treatment is a help, and there are times when it would be unwise to take such a course of treatment. If I had nothing to think of but the care of my body, I might venture to take a course of treatment at the sanitarium. But I have four workers at work for me, besides my son, and next week Doris Robinson will be here. I must stay where I can be in touch with my workers. I have much to place in their hands. The subject matter that the Lord gives me must be sent out to the people. I have not, therefore, taken time for treatment at the sanitarium. Last Sabbath, for the first time since returning from the East, I ventured to speak in the sanitarium chapel. My severe labor in speaking while on the journey to and from New York, and my exposure, while traveling, to intense cold, brought on a severe throat and lung difficulty. I also suffered from bloody flux, which caused me great pain. I lost much flesh, and part of the time while on the journey, I looked more like a corpse than a living woman. Still, I was obliged to keep on writing, and in trying to fill all my appointments to speak to the people, I lost my voice. While at Nashville, I was very sick. I lost all appetite for food, and appearances seemed to be against me. A season of prayer was held for me in response to my request. I was able to pray, and great peace came to me, but no evidence of immediate healing. I was very happy. It seemed to me that a soft, clear, heavenly light shone about me, and I was able to rest and believe, lying passive in the Lord's hands. Since then, my health has gradually improved. I have had one or two severe attacks of sickness, but most of the time I have been able to rest in quietude. I take a hot bath at night, always taking care to cool off thoroughly before getting out. In the morning, I give myself treatment. Sometimes I rise at 12 o'clock, sometimes at 11, but generally at 1. For weeks, 1 o'clock was my hour for rising. I would take a cold sponge bath and then begin my writing. And before any of the others in the house were awake, I would have many pages written. I kept this up till suddenly my head seemed like a seething furnace. My eyes pained me much. I pray much in the night season, when the condition of the churches burdens me so that I cannot sleep. On one or two nights, I walked the floor, unable to sleep until 3 o'clock in the morning. I tell you plainly that I do not like this wakefulness. I am trying to educate myself to sleep, and the Lord is helping me. For the last few nights, I have slept until 3 o'clock. But when I think of the peril of souls and of the state of our churches, I am so deeply moved and so burdened that I cannot sleep. I have spoken twice on Sabbath morning to the little company of believers at Calistoga, a town about 9 miles from here. Another time I spoke to a little company 7 miles beyond Calistoga. Thus I have tested my voice and measured my strength to see how much I could do with safety. A week ago I spoke in the sanitarium chapel. Those present said that the discourse was plain and clear. Tomorrow, notwithstanding the fact that since returning from the East, I have not been strong enough to join with my faith in worship, except on a few occasions, I go to Oakland to attend an important council meeting. The work at the Pacific Press is passing through a crisis, and we have been in perplexity to know what to do. I have written much to meet the situation. It was a severe strain on me to do this writing, but I could not forbear. Many difficulties have arisen. It has seemed that matters could not be satisfactorily adjusted. Apparently, to do that which needed to be done to set things in order would destroy some things that ought to be strengthened. For 3 nights last week, I was carried through presentation after presentation. During the day, many desired to talk with me, but I said, "No, I cannot talk with anyone. I must write out the instruction the Lord has given me. I shall try to present to those bearing responsibilities in the publishing house the need of cutting away the outside work and of doing more in the publication of the truth. This is the next reformation to be undertaken. Those in positions of trust in the institution have much to learn in regard to their duty to give the apprentices the discipline and education they should receive. They are to give the youth in their charge a thorough understanding of the work in the different departments. They are to teach them to work as in the sight of the Lord. God will bless them in doing this grand missionary work. I have been looking over the testimonies that have been published in regard to the work to be done in our publishing houses, and I ask myself, why have not those connected with this branch of the Lord's work taken heed to the light given? The men appointed by David to bear responsibilities in the kingdom were men of wisdom and business ability. They were examples of industry and prudence. The king's personal counselors, they possessed wisdom of no ordinary degree. In the government of the kingdom, David listened to the counsel and advice of these men. But he did not place their words before the word of God. He declares, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. I have chosen the way of truth, thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run in the way of thy commandments, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly." Psalm 119, verse 24, 30-32, 105, 167. The whole of the 119th Psalm exalts the law of God. God's law is to be the rule of our life. In plain, clear language, the Lord has enjoined upon us the importance of studying His Word. There the principles of righteousness are laid down, and the difference between right and wrong, truth and error, is clearly defined. The testimonies are given to lead minds to this Word. Personal ministry is far more efficacious than preaching in the saving of souls. When God's people do personal work as He designs it to be done, the promises of Isaiah 58 will be fulfilled to them. His righteousness will go before them. His glory will be their reward. Darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness the people. Deceit, cruelty, violence, and crime fill the land. But those who are willing to be led by God will see light in His light. His power will give them victory. Right will triumph over wrong. We are to press upward and still upward, seeking to understand more of the breadth and depth and height of Christ's love. We need more of the love which passeth understanding. Philippians 4, verse 7. We need more, much more, of God. Oh, why do we forget that it is our privilege to breathe in the Spirit of Christ? Why do we forget that God wants to lift upon us the light of His countenance, that He wants to give us life and joy and power? Under the most trying circumstances, we can rest in the Savior. I know this by experience. When suffering the most severe trials, my heart is filled with a peace that is beyond understanding or expression. Thus it has been with me all through the past months of sickness and weariness. I love the Lord. I know that He is my strength and my exceeding great reward. My heart is filled with love for Him who gave His life for me. My dear brother and sister whom I love in the Lord, I feel a sweet unity with you. I believe that the Lord will bless you in taking up the work at the sanitarium. I wish to say that it is the Lord who has impressed Brother Murphitt to lend you money. Take this money, for thus the Lord is opening the way for the sanitarium to be completed.